It's a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub officially underway on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video per usual on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Busy show for you here today. We've got our first Wings Weekly of the year, as the Aberdeen Wings will have the puck drop for realsies this upcoming Friday and Saturday. They've got a home and road with the Watertown Shamrocks home on Friday, and then, of course, on the road there on Saturday. That'll be at 7:15 and 7 o'clock, respectively, Friday and Saturday. Cy Evanuk on the play-by-play, and we'll take the temperature of that squad with head coach Scott Langer towards the back half of the program. Quarter past the hour, we'll talk a little Aberdeen Central boys soccer, as the head coach Lance Moore, he'll be joining us on the program, head coach of that squad, as the boys of Central off to an outstanding start, 8-1 right now for the Golden Eagles. We'll talk about the season to date with Coach Moore coming up about a quarter past the hour. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra here on a Tuesday. How are things, sir?
Doing good. Happy to be here today.
Absolutely, and good to have you here in studio per usual, and looking forward to a loaded show for you here today with lots of polls to get to, lots of awards to get to, and kind of a fairly, I don't want to say heavy Monday, but, you know, had some tennis action there, had some cross country, a little bit of light volleyball there as well. So a very, 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 I shouldn't say very, but there was some stuff going on there yesterday on the high school side of things. That's for sure. All right, he's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's go ahead and get to the jump here on this Tuesday installment of the show. Certainly not going to have all the time in the world to get to all of these things, so would encourage you to check out our website, hubcityradio.com, and the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page there as well. Check out the 605 Top 5 Plays of the Week. That's also on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Some plays from this last weekend, and Falkton and Warner, the Aberdeen Wings, finding the back of the rope in overtime, and of course Northern State and the Hank Kraft touchdown reception there from Brock Bogosi. And it's all there, part of the 605 Top 5 Plays of the Week, courtesy of American Bank and Trust, where what if meets why not. And tell you what, man, Gypsy Days is just around the corner, and if the preseason is any guide for the Aberdeen Wings, it's going to be a very interesting regular season, because they've had two overtime wins for them. It's a four-game sample size. It's tough to glean any sort of pattern around that, but they've played four very competitive games, and that's just hockey in general, by and large. So I think the Wings are expecting, again, big things here in 25.
Yeah, trying to build off a pretty solid year last year. They got off to a great start last year and want to build off of what they did a season ago. Probably a bad taste in their mouth after how last season ended against Bismarck, and you got to think those guys are ready to go. And those clutch games in the preseason, all they can do is just help you as the season moves along. They play Watertown first two games of the season, a team that they've had a lot of success with here in Watertown's opening year. I don't think they've lost a game to Watertown all year. So I want to get off to a good start against the Shamrocks this weekend.
Why do they call it a home and home? Can you explain that to me?
Well, because one team has a home game. Both teams have a home game.
That bothers me. Yeah, that's one of those that always drives me crazy. I'm probably in the minority there, but
I think it's because the first team, like one team's home. I was trying to think about this because you're not going to call it a home and road.
I call it a home and road.
If it's your team, like for Watertown, I don't know if they'll call it a home and road because they're road first.
They can call it a road and home.
Road and home.
Yeah.
So that's why I think they do that.
Yeah. I'll never budge on this one. I'm not sorry. I know people are like, Tukes, it's called a home and home. Call it that. Nope, I'm not gonna. So that's my hill. I'm not necessarily gonna die on that hill, but it's one thing I'm not too crazy about. But that's me being Mr. Nitpicky over here. Speaking of being nitpicky, I saw this over the weekend that the Chiefs were wearing T-shirts with Free 4 on them. Did you see this over the weekend?
I did not.
Kansas City Chiefs in pregame warmups on Sunday with their matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Wolves, they're wearing shirts that say Make History. Make History. That's nice. I like that. That's very, very cool. The Chiefs are wearing T-shirts in pregame that says Free 4. That's Rashee Rice. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but he was going 119 miles per hour before crashing his Lamborghini, hitting 6 different vehicles, injuring 4, and then fleeing the scene. So not exactly a good look from Travis Kelce and company, Free 4. You people look like a bunch of idiots. Maybe you just go ahead and just put the red tops on.
Yep.
You know, it says Chiefs across the front.
Or just, Kansas City.
Yeah, just something that you don't look like a massive moron.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I saw that yesterday, now that I think about it, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, didn't he get in trouble for something that he did off the field and that's why he's suspended?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we wearing those shirts?
Are we going to do that for the next guy that beats his wife?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know.
Or just whenever somebody has an off-the-field problem, they get suspended. All right, well, let's make shirts for the next guy who gets in trouble off the field. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I saw that, and it really rubbed me the wrong way. Speaking of things that rubbed me the wrong way, I saw this last night as well, and it gave me some pause. Tom Brady is up in the coaching booth last night, and I thought to myself, this guy is a broadcaster. He's also a minority owner in the Raiders. I totally get that. But doesn't that feel like a conflict of interest just a little bit?
I think so. He's gone to a couple Raiders practices, too. I know, obviously, broadcasters, you go to practice and see what they got. But, yeah, I thought the same thing. It's a little bit odd, him in the up there upstairs watching the game from, like, the booth or whatever. Or I just kind of find the whole thing a little bit odd.
Either just pick a lane. You want to be a minority owner? Go for it. You want to be a broadcaster? Go for it. But yeah. you can't, you know what, where you eat to a certain degree. And someone said this on social media. Brady was just calling a Commanders game this last week. Probably got a fair amount of information. I know he can't go to the team facility. I think that's one of the reasons behind him being a minority owner. They don't grant him that sort of face-to-face interaction, but he can still do Zoom stuff, I guess. And guess who the Raiders are playing next week? Washington.
Commanders?
Yeah, they're playing them next week.
Yeah.
So it feels like a conflict of interest to me. I don't know how that's allowed. I know they're trying to put some certain parameters on his access and what have you, but to me, doesn't sit right with me.
Pick a lane, man.
Yeah.
Pick a lane. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I don't know. Just be the owner.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a huge Tom Brady in the booth guy.
He's gotten a little bit better, but I'm with you on that. I like Greg Olsen. I think he does a heck of a job.
Yeah. I usually really, really, really like Greg Olsen. Then whenever he calls Seahawks games, he's still a little salty about being let go by the Seahawks, I think, in the previous regime there with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. And I don't know. He has talked not so glowingly about the Seahawks, like right after he got cut and right as soon as he got in the booth when Wilson and Carroll were still there. So I'm like, I don't know about him in the booth when he's calling Seahawks games. But other games, I'm a fan of his, and he does a great job. But Brady's still only in his second year as a guy, but when you're getting paid millions upon millions of dollars, I think people anticipate perfection in the booth. And he ain't perfect, and broadcasting is never going to be perfect, but I don't know. I'm just not a huge Tom Brady in the booth guy. But to your point, he is making some progress for sure. On the local side of things, saw this drop yesterday. Big shout out goes to some local squads in the high school volleyball poll. Clark Willow Lake, they move up a spot. They move from 5 to 4, while Groton and Hamlin, they are currently receiving votes. And in Class B, you've got Northwestern. They make the jump from 3 to 2. Warner drops from 2 to 3, of course, by way of their loss to that Northwestern squad, while Hitchcock Tulare is also receiving votes. And in Class AA, no real changes there at all. As a matter of fact, no changes. It's the same 1-5 as it was 1 week ago. Harrisburg still unblemished with their record at 5-0. And I could have sworn I saw something with Harrisburg on the internet. I think they're either going to like somewhere in Vegas or something like this, or somewhere out west for some sort of invite. I got to double check on that. But pretty cool deal for a high school that typically, my guess is that doesn't happen very, very often. And Harrisburg, they just continue to win and win and win. And congratulations to them. They've been in that top spot for probably about as long as you could ask for or expect for a AA team to be, or any team for that matter.
I was looking at these polls. It looks like no first-place votes to any other team except for the teams in first. I mean, like Harrisburg, all 11. Del Rapids, all 11. Chester, all 11. No other teams are receiving votes for that first place in either of those three classes. I just found that interesting.
We know who's who and what's what, and there's not a whole lot of changes. And they'll be playing in the Silverado High School Invite or something like that. They'll be taking on Redwood, Los Alamitos, Village Christian there as well. So all sorts of teams out west. And when was the last time we saw that in South Dakota?
I guess if you win all those games in a row, you get rewarded for something cool like that.
Yeah, when you win 732,084 games straight, you get to go west. Jump on a plane. I would guess they're going on a plane. Coming up next on the program, we're talking some high school soccer. The head coach of the Aberdeen Central boys team, he is Lance Moore. He'll join us on the phone line after this. Moving into grooving for a Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub. Tomorrow we've got ourselves a Wolves midweek. Looking forward to that. Talk a little Northern State football. Matt Ouellette, as well as Northern State baseball new head coach, interim head coach. We'll see if that interim tag gets dropped at some point in time. Brandon Kusler, he'll be joining us as well. Busy show for you here tomorrow. Busy show for you here today as Lance Moore, the head coach of the Aberdeen Central boys soccer squad, joining us on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you this morning. How are things?
Good. Really, really good. Nice to catch up. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. And that's just it. Yeah, probably really good when you're sitting at 8-1. I mean, is this kind of the expectation of the season, given the fact that, I mean, you've always had good squads over there, but was this kind of the anticipatory start for you guys?
I don't know if it's at high school, just because so many things have to go right, if we'd ever say we would expect to be 8-1, but we definitely had high expectations for the team throughout the year. What they've been able to do so far has absolutely met, you know, and to some extent exceeded expectations just based on how the results have come in.
And what do you attribute the good start to? Is there something specific that you're seeing on either end, offense or defense, that's really stood out?
I think, we started with a loss in our second game to Sioux Falls Jefferson, which is one of the better teams in the state. And I think that was probably the perfect time to have that game, in my opinion, because it kind of, you know, it was very clear at that point that we weren't good enough to beat that team that day. And since then, they have absolutely bought in to getting better and committing to training each day and to film. And to spending time, you know, even outside of that, getting better individually and collectively. So to say it's one thing or the other, I don't know if I could do that. But we also have four captains who are really, really good team leaders. And they've pushed the group, you know, forward a lot quicker. And that really helps when you have that many seniors on the team in general, because they understand where they need to get to. So.
Coach,
combination of things.
Sorry, I was going to say, Coach, this may be a dumb question, but can you kind of walk us through a standard practice or training, like you say, you know, in football practice, you know, they're running certain set plays, what have you. Do you guys kind of focus on set pieces a lot, or is it just kind of we'll roll the ball out there, feel the flow of a practice and how it works out? Can you kind of walk us through what that sort of looks like?
Yeah, that's a good question. A normal practice is we will watch film and identify what we're struggling with, And whether that could be in certain parts of the field, we break it down into, you know, our defending half or attacking half. Are we allowing chances? Are we not getting chances? You know, are we not getting to a certain part of the field? And then whatever that problem is, we're just going to present it to them over and over again in training until they figure it out. And because it's a fluid, you know, it's a flow sport. There's no timeouts. We can't, you know, talk about things and make adjustments on the fly quite as easy. We have to make sure they're prepared for the problem. And so it's just showing them, you know, that replication. We actually spend very little time scrimmaging as a whole, just because there's so many games and we have to keep their legs fresh. So we break down the field in smaller pieces. And like I said, once they solve a problem, then we go to the next problem. And we just generally start in the back. And that's why you can see some of our results. You know, early in the year, we were giving up a few goals, fixed that. Then we weren't scoring a few goals. Then we worked on creating chances, you know, and now it's just focusing on how close can we get to being 100% ready for the state tournament. And every percentage now to get better is much, much harder. And so it's easy to get to, you know, 60-70%. It's really hard to get to 80-90% ready.
Do you feel like your team's pretty well conditioned? Do you feel your team is wearing down other teams with how conditioned you guys are? I know you mentioned you're not scrimmaging much and you're doing more individual type drills and things of that, or team drills. Can you talk about that a little bit? It seems like you guys are pretty well conditioned out there.
Yeah. And part of it too is our style of play. You know, we don't play direct, which means we don't hit a lot of long balls. So our guys are not having to run up and down the field continuously. We prefer to play a little bit, connect a lot more passes, make the game a little bit more compact. And so if we're completing 300-400 passes a game, generally the other team is having to defend for 60, you know, percent of the game. And that's wear and tear on their legs. So then when they come back at us, they don't have, you know, all the energy and the conditioning that, and they feel like they're 100% coming at us. We're trying to break them down slowly over the game and create chances along the way. And then that leads to, you know, our ability to look fresher and stay more energized in the second half, especially.
And if we're talking about the other football or like American football, you know, 400 passes in a game, you'd be like, holy moly. But that's another story. Lance Moore joining us here, head coach of the Aberdeen Central boys soccer squad here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5 Daily Sports Talk Show here from 10 till 11. And a very senior-laden team. Now, that doesn't necessarily just translate into success. There's a lot of teams out there that have a bunch of seniors on them, and none of them are really that great in terms of getting results. Just because you have them doesn't necessarily mean it's going to follow in terms of success. Why has this team had that success with that senior-laden squad? Have they just kind of up the ante, if you will, in terms of their leadership and whatnot?
Yeah, that is very, very true, you know, regarding seniors, because they have to, you know, bring the appropriate mentality. And sometimes they, you know, look even beyond the season and, okay, what's the next step for me? And starting to think about, you know, college and moving on. And so right now, though, the season is so compact and so short and so focused that these guys haven't had any, you know, been able to kind of limit outside distractions. And we've also got a lot of seniors that have played varsity at the varsity level for 2 and 3 and four. Sometimes in Tyler Bain's case, this is his fifth year as a senior. Mm-hmm. So they have been waiting for this opportunity as opposed to being thrust into the opportunity. So it's a totally different mindset. And they also play a ton year round. The guys we got are not, you know, dipping their toe in the water in soccer. They're full all the way in and committed to it and want to get better at it each day. And that leads to, you know, good culture. Then that shakes down to juniors and sophomores. And so once that culture's there, then as they become seniors, it's a little bit more of a seamless transition and far less distraction.
Coach, how important is it to just focus on the next game? Because it's such a short season, and before you blink, the season's over. So you got to be able to focus on that next game mentality. We hear it in football and all the time, next play and things of that. Is that really important with soccer and your team as well?
Yeah, we talk about the next 10 minutes, you know, all the time, especially starting a game we can get so far ahead of ourselves and think this is what we're going to be able to do and this is what we aren't. But really the first 10 minutes, you know, oftentimes in a high school game dictate what happens for the remaining 70. What kind of style are they playing? You know, what are they trying to do early that we need to make small tweaks and adjustments to as on the fly? And then from there, you're trying to get the game settled. Because obviously after the first 10 minutes, everyone's excited, energy, it's going back and forth. And then after that, it's which team can maintain control for the longer period of time. And generally that team has a far better chance of winning just based on the course of the game. But that is our focus. It's next 10 minutes, next 10 minutes, next 10 minutes. We talk about it all the time, especially beginning the first half and second half.
We've got sort of a running joke on the program in hockey. A two-goal lead is like the most tenuous of all leads. It kind of feels soccer is sort of similar to that. Is that fair to say or at all or not so much?
That is 100% accurate. The two-goal lead in soccer is the worst lead. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but at the same time, it continuously becomes a problem because your tendency is to, you know, retreat, saying it was really hard for us to get two goals. But the other team is playing with a totally different momentum and attitude trying to get back in the game. Mm-hmm. And if you don't match that, the two-goal lead evaporates pretty quick. Happened to me as a player before, happened to me as a coach before, and then vice versa. You know, we've been on the other side of it too, where we've come back where the team has thought, oh, we got two goals, game's over, and then that it's just not the case. But it very, very much is the same in hockey. Obviously, goals and are very, very similar based on what games generally finish up at. So that two-goal lead is a good problem, but it is a problem.
Coach, we hear the term halftime adjustments a lot in sports and, you know, football, basketball, whatever it may be. Is it similar in soccer as well? Do you do a lot of halftime adjustments or do you just kind of point something out? Does it feel like it flies by as well from your perspective?
It definitely did earlier in your career. And then the later, you know, every year that you go by, there's generally a little bit of cause and effect in soccer. So if one team's doing this, then it's because we're not doing this. And so it kind of A plus B equals C type thing. And so the more games you see, the more it slows down for me and our coaching staff personally, because we've been doing this for quite a while. And so you can kind of start to see some of these problems. And when they occur, then halftime is where we take that time to adjust that. It may be how much pressure are we putting on the team? How soon up the field? Do we want them to get it off their feet? Do we want it to force it and direct it to certain players? Because then we know they may not be as strong or we can win it in those spaces. And then a lot of it is chance creation. You know, what things are working well for us? How do we get the ball in behind their back line? Who do we want to get the ball to in our team that's making a difference, that is having, you know, some good moments in the game and creating some chances? And then being mindful of that as we play and not letting the game, you know, the pace of the game kind of swallow you up, so where you're not looking for certain things because it's going too fast. And so our goal as part of, you know, training is to present the problems, speed them up in training, so then the game is hopefully very reflective of what they're seeing at the same pace on the field. But that all ties into our ability to do halftime adjustments, to make small tweaks and changes, and then, make sure we're getting the result and we're trying to do the right things throughout the course of the game.
Coach, maybe final one before we get you out of here. And again, thanks for doing this. Lance Moore, head coach of the Aberdeen Central Boys soccer squad, off to an 8-1 start. Only a very small handful of matches to go, majority of them on the road, one of them coming up here tonight against T, or I guess more accurately this afternoon. Two tough ones. You've got T today and then Lincoln coming up on Thursday. That's that rematch of that semifinal from last year, if memory serves correctly. I know you're focused
That's
on
correct.
The task at hand, yeah, and this is kind of a big stretch for you guys coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, we got I've mentioned to it multiple times as we've continued to have some success in these last results, is that all we've done is give ourselves a good opportunity to finish the season really strong. We haven't won anything. Nobody's going to lie down for us. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter. An 8-1 start, you know, isn't going to feel very good if we don't continue to play well. So we're just going to focus on these first 10 minutes today. We've got a tough game against T today and then a tough game against Lincoln on Thursday. And the big challenge for us is staying, you know, is staying fit and staying healthy and keeping our legs under us. So we want to look to play well today, play more of a controlled game, so we're not sprinting up and down the field, and then reserve some energy for a good Lincoln team on Thursday. And I think the boys will be up for that one anyway, so I'm not not too worried about them putting forth the full effort on Thursday. But a couple big games, a couple big results, four ESD games left. We'd really like to win that again this year. Mm-hmm. And we've got a great chance to do it. Just have to finish the season up the right way.
No doubt about it. All right, well, continued success here this season. Safe travels down there to T, and then Sioux Falls there on Thursday. Appreciate you doing this, Coach, and good luck today and going forward. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Head coach Lance Moore joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. They've had a great season to date. And like you mentioned, they haven't won anything yet. It's like, yeah, you're great, 8-1, but it's time to finish the deal. And these next two matchups, I look at and I say, okay, you're going up against some of the best in the state, best in AA. How can you make it happen on the road? Two hostile environments.
Yeah, it's important for them just to not run out of gas. We see great starts all the time in sports, and then they don't finish up the season strong. And then postseason arises, and it just doesn't look the same than you did at the beginning of the season. So if you can just continue the momentum here, not run out of gas, like he mentioned, keep your legs underneath you. If you can win these couple matches and then head to the postseason off strong, I mean, you really could be putting yourself in a great position. But I think it's important for them not to really look back, but look forward on what's ahead.
Take a quick break in the action, head on some of the South Dakota high school football polls, hit on the volleyball stuff earlier, and also some sparse action yesterday in terms of boys golf, some volleyball, and a lot of awards for some Wolves to be passed out as well. Details next on The Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Final segment live. Cy Evanuk got your Aberdeen Wings Weekly coming up here in about 10 minutes' time right here on The Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're back at it tomorrow live in studio with a Wolves midweek. South Dakota Prep Media football poll has also been released. Again, no changes. I shouldn't say no changes, but no regional representation in 11 AAA, AA, or single A. So we're kind of zooming on past that. But I will tell you, and maybe you can talk about this very briefly, maybe you, Matt, because you know more than I do about them. But Huron has been kind of a surprise team in 11 AA this season. They were 5 last week. Beat T last week. They're now sitting in the number 2 spot. They're at 2-1.
Yeah, they deserve to be right where they're at there at the 2 spot. They came off a really nice win against Pierre, backed that off with a huge win against T. I thought T coming in was one of the better teams in 11AA, and they certainly still are. But Huron really didn't see this coming here to start the year. This is a really good football team. They got size. Remember from last year, pretty big team from a receiving standpoint. They got Elwine. He played football last year. We know how good of a basketball player is. Those kids in basketball are really good, Huron, and they play football as well. And they're a year older, and they're good. And, yeah, not surprised to see them number 2. I voted for them to be number 2 in the polls there. And, yeah, Yankton's the team to beat, but I wouldn't sleep on this Huron team right now.
Pierre is also just lurking.
And Pierre's also there.
Yeah, they're also there. They're just in the number 4 spot right now. But that'll be very, very interesting to see what happens in 11AA. 11B, Mobridge Pollock, they make the jump into the top 5 after receiving votes after their 50-0 win over Aberdeen Roncalli on Friday. Clark Willow Lake is in the receiving votes category there, too. 9AA, Hamlin in the number 2 spot. Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy, numero uno, as it is about 80% of the first-place votes going to them, or is it 85%? I'm not good with numbers. I know Coach Moore was talking about the A plus B plus C deal. That's the what property is that? It's not the transitive property. I had it up here a second ago.
Is that the Pythagorean theorem?
Something like that. We'll go with that, sure. Nevertheless, good stuff there. But Hamlin sitting in the number 2 spot. Elkton, Lake Benton, 3. Hill City, 4. Parkston, 5. And a 9A, Warner's still picking up one first-place vote within the region. Wall is getting all of, if not one of those first-place tallies to the number 1 spot. Alcester Hudson, 3. Platt Geddes, 4. Howard, 5. Ipswich is also receiving votes. And in 9B, Sully Buttes picks up 21 of the 25 first-place nods. Avon, 2. Del Rapids St. Mary, 3. While Harriet Selby and Falkton round out the top 5. Anything in particular jump off the page, D, there?
I think Warner there, number 2, only one first place vote. They've had a really tough schedule, and I think they're warranted to have maybe a little bit more eyes on them in 9A. I think if they were playing some teams that weren't as good and they were 4-0, I'd have a different opinion on it. But you look at who they played this year, they played some good football teams, and they've come back as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, I know Wall's the team to beat, and it looks like, but Warner maybe needs to get a little bit more love, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Cross-country action. You have the Webster area invite there. yesterday, boys and girls. Full results can be found on our website, hubcityradio.com. On the girls' side of things, Cameron Nesham of Clark Willow Lakewood finished in first place. Addison Cassidy of Aberdeen Roncalli there in second. High school tennis action from yesterday, Roncalli, they got dominated by St. Thomas More a year ago, 9-0. This year they fell 6-3, and Abby Anderson picks up another victory in flight six singles, as the Roncalli Cavaliers also got wins from Lydia Nora and Molly Hofer in flights four and five, respectively. But Anderson in flight six this year, I don't want to use the word dominant, but she's been very impressive this season.
Yeah, and you look at what this tennis team did to St. Thomas More last year. They struggled. So yeah, to have some success against that team this year just goes to show that the program is building, and Coach Dignan has got to be happy with how things are going for that squad. They just continue to get better.
Jake Adams, NSIC Defensive Player of the Week, 16 tackles, a sack, a pick, and a TFL. Obviously good stuff there from Jake Adams. Congratulations to him. And also Abby Brooks, NSIC Offensive Player of the Week on the hardwood as well. And yesterday on the program we said, hey, can the Wolves crack the top 20? Oh boy, did they ever. They're sitting in the number 15 spot right now in the nation in college volleyball in the latest AVCA and Terraflex poll. They're opening up NSIC conference play this upcoming weekend. They've got their home opener match 1 week from today, as a matter of fact, as they'll bring in newly minted Jamestown to the NSIC. Looking forward to that 1 week from today. Your Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly is next.
Welcome back, Wings fans, to another season here of Wings Weekly. It's the 25-26 edition, and no, you do not have to adjust your screens on your computers here. I am not Jay Kleinconnect. I'm the new voice of the Aberdeen Wings, Cy Evanuk here, and joining us now as always is the head coach and general manager of the Aberdeen Wings, Scott Langer. Scott, thank you for taking time to join us here today.
No problem.
First off, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the hockey stuff here, probably didn't have much of an off season, but did you enjoy your summer to get to spend time with the family at all?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting in hockey. You seem to just get a little bit of summer here and there, and with camps going on and recruiting and draft and all that fun stuff that you need to do in order to be successful during the season, you know, you have to put your time in. But, yeah, I mean, I had a good summer. I can't complain.
For sure. Glad to hear that. Now that we're kind of deep into training camp here, we'll go over the exhibition games here in just a moment. But how you feeling about this current group of Wings? You know, you bring 30 guys here into camp. You're going to have to do some cuts, you know, soon. Think you've done some cuts already, but you know, just how has been training camp going here these past couple weeks?
Yeah, you know, it's been a good training camp. Our guys showed up in shape. Our guys showed up determined. You know, we went through training camp there. Guys did a really good job. And then obviously into the exhibition schedule, which I feel like they're doing a really good job of becoming a team. You know, it's not easy to put all these new guys together and them to form their team. You know, but I think it's coming together. I certainly liked what I've seen so far in our practice and our training, and obviously the success in the ways we had to win games in exhibition show that, you know, this team's got some resiliency.
Absolutely. Kind of sticking with the training camp, you know, like I just said, you know, you're bringing so many guys in here. You know, what's kind of the evaluation process that you have to go through, you know, to see who sticks around and who doesn't, who has what it takes to be an Aberdeen Wing?
Yeah, you know, I think first and foremost, you're looking at the individual himself, how he's acting around the group. Is he about himself? Is he about the team? You know, then once you get on the ice, obviously, you're putting him through some pretty tough training to kind of see who's fit for it. You know, and then it comes down to skill and speed and all those little things that we need here to be successful. And, you know, some guys, you know, they tend to weed themselves out. They're either at the pace and at the level or they're just beneath it and they need a little more time to develop, which is good for them to find out now, you know, because you don't want to be at a level you can't develop at. So, you know, right now we're still going through that process. And, you know, we have obviously when you get to the final got, you know, down close to your roster, some of those decisions are extremely tough.
Absolutely. And, you know, that part of that evaluation process, you know, what does it look like on a day-to-day basis for these players? You know, what does it look like going through practices and just the daily operations here in Aberdeen?
Yeah, well, I mean, you plan your practices during training camp to be hard. a lot of battle stuff, you know, a lot of stuff that's going to, you're going to see, okay, are they workers or are they not workers? Because if they're not a worker, you can't really play here. So we put them through the test on that, you know, and every day is an evaluation. You know, we did inter squad, we did practices, we did exhibition, and you know, every day everybody's getting evaluated. And obviously I have a new staff here this year that's done a really good job. And we talk every day, and you know, we judge who is good, who is bad, and you know, eventually all the good days add up, and then the guys that are having bad days, you know, they need to find themselves a different spot.
Absolutely. And you mentioned you know, a whole new coaching staff this year. Obviously you're still behind the bench, but you have a couple new assistants in David Mitchell and Alex Gilbert. Can you just kind of talk about those two new additions to the Aberdeen Wings organization and what they bring to the table here?
Yeah, well, I mean, Mitch and I go back a long time. You know, I had some of his players when he was coaching up in Michigan. I had some of his players that, you know, three of them in Topeka. And then I had Jake Bonet, who was here, who was one of our captains. So we had a relationship. We always talk hockey, a lot of hockey, you know, and throw things back and forth. And then the opportunity came up where, you know, we wanted to add a second assistant, and Mitch really wanted to get into it. So I thought it was a perfect match. And, you know, he's been really good. And obviously with that, you know, Mitch was here for a short time. And then our other assistant decided to go in a different direction. So we hired Alex Gilbert, who's a tremendous worker. You know, he came highly regarded by a lot of people, and it's because of his work ethic. He loves to do all the little things, and it's tough to even find him enough to do in a day without him getting bored. So, but his ability to do skills work and stuff like that on the ice has been exceptional. So us as a staff, we get along really well. And I think that's going to pay dividends in the locker room.
It's always a good thing to hear that you guys are, you know, communicating. That's one of the biggest things I feel like in junior hockey is to stay on top of, is just that constant communication from the coaching staff and down to the players, talking with head coach and general manager of the Aberdeen Wings, Scott Wenger, and moving down to the exhibition games. Wings had four games in the 2025 exhibition schedule. We're able to come away with victories in all four games. We'll kind of start with the home and home weekend against Watertown. What was your evaluation against the Shamrocks here last weekend?
Well, I mean, it was up and down. I mean, Friday for sure was up and down in their facility. I thought our first period was not good. But again, we challenged them, made a few changes, and they came out in the second period, and I felt like we tipped the ice a little bit in that game, and then gave up that late one where we had to win it in overtime. But again, our guys found a way to win that game. And then you come home against them, and you know you're going to get their best game. You know their fans travel; they travel well, and it was another good hockey game. You know, the Shamrocks are a good hockey team this year, and it's made us have to get better. And I think that's the whole plan when you put the exhibition schedule together. That each team you play, you have to find a way to get better during the course of those games and through the process. So, you know, we've done that. And that's the one thing that I like as the head coach, is that we've utilized every amount of ice, practice, and exhibition series to get us to this point today, where we're looking at, you know, Friday night home opener in our building. And I like where our team is at.
Like I said, winning both those games against the Shamrocks here to begin the 2025 exhibition schedule. And then this past weekend, the Wings coming up with a couple more victories in the preseason, and another home-and-home series versus the St. Cloud Norsemen. Also another overtime victory there on Friday night. Coach, saw a lot of good things there against St. Cloud. I just kind of want to hear your opinions and your evaluations of that St. Cloud series.
Yeah, Friday was a little up and down, I thought. But, you know, we defended really well, and our goaltending was good. And when you have that, you know, you give yourselves the ability to win a hockey game. And then, obviously, you know, that play with Keaton Weiss driving the net, creating a power play, that's a big-time play from a vet. You know, you talk about crashing the net and getting to those dirty areas, and the guy had to pull him down. And it gave us the ability to go up 4-on-3 on the power play. And, you know, another vet in Cooper Anderson, you know, buried the puck. And, you know, again, finding a way to win the game.
And that's what it's all about, just stacking up the W's. And that concludes the exhibition schedule for the Aberdeen Wings home opener coming up this Friday, September 19th, against the in-state rival Watertown Shamrocks. You can get your tickets at tickets.aberdeenwings.com, or you can pick them up at the Lincoln Repair Aberdeen Wings box office inside the ODI Center lobby. Talking with head coach and general manager of the Aberdeen Wings, Scott Langer, just a couple more questions here for you, Coach. Coming out of the exhibition schedule here, how are you feeling about this group? You know, you've played four complete games and really obviously came away with four victories, but four solid victories against division opponents that you're going to see plenty of times this year. Just how are you feeling currently, where you stand about this current group of Wings?
Well, I think we're in a good spot. You know, our vets have played well. Our new guys have been playing well. I think they're excited to get to Friday where there's points on the line and the games actually mean something. And that's the competitiveness of our locker room. But, you know, now it's time to see, you know, what kind of team you have when you get punched in the mouth. And, you know, these guys are all dressed in their best lineups and they're going to come after you, you know, when there's points on the line. So now we get to see, okay, how are we going to react when we're down two goals, or, you know, how are we going to react when we're up 3-1, you know, if we get that opportunity. So, but, you know, nice thing is we get to start at the Doty, and an opportunity to get off to a great start and then obviously move on in Saturday into Watertown, where they do an, you know, incredible job there with their fan base. But Coach Curley's put together a really good team, and I think these games are going to be highly competitive.
You mentioned it before in the exhibition games, how you kind of leaned on your veterans for some big plays there. There were a lot more veterans, honestly, on this roster than I thought there would be. How happy you are to have the veterans that you do have back here in Aberdeen?
Well, it's great because, you know, you put all that time into them. Like last year, you put a lot of time into the Cooper Andersons, the Brigors, and, you know, guys like that, Birch. And you know, now you're starting to see those guys in a position where they're actually taking over games or being impactful in situations you need them to be impactful. So it's great to see because, you know, a lot of times in our league, we put all that, you know, 9 months into a player and he's gone. You know, he's moving on to another level, or, you know, college, and, you know, you don't get him. But having the guys back and being able to work with them for a second time, but the best feeling as a coach is you see what you developed last year, you know, in these players. And then obviously you get two goaltenders back who are veterans with Bronny and Dibes, you know, and those guys get along great, and they've been doing a great job. So, I mean, I think that is a really good starting point for us. Probably need to score a few more goals. But we're working on that every day. And, you know, the one thing I do know is we're going to compete.
100%. And shifting from the veterans to the newcomers on this roster here, Coach, like I said, four exhibition games, four wins. But what have you seen from the newcomers here in the Wing sweater?
Yeah, they've worked hard. You know, obviously all those guys come in with the fear of, oh, am I going to make the team? You know, so they have to battle through that anxiety, you know, and then when they get a spot in the lineup, they have to perform, you know, or else someone else is going to take their job. So we're at the point now where, you know, our first year guys have done a really good job, and, you know, they've added a lot more skill and speed to our team than we had last year. So they've been doing a great job. And, you know, at this level, things are a little different than where, you know, guys are coming from, you know, AAA hockey or high school hockey. There's all new verbiage. There's different style of play, and it's not easy to just change your game, you know, especially when you've been playing 4 years for your high school coach and playing the same way, and now you're here with our staff, and we're asking you to do things that are completely foreign to you. So, but they've picked it up. They've picked a lot up. They picked the verbiage up, and they're kind of spitting what we're putting down.
Love to hear that. As we're through the exhibition schedule here in the 2025 preseason, with the home opener coming up on Friday here against the Watertown Shamrocks. Last question here with the head coach and general manager of the Aberdeen Wings, Scott Langer. Scott, regular season home opener on Friday, regular season opening weekend this weekend against the Shamrocks. Starting off at home at the ODI Center on Friday night, then shifting to Watertown on Saturday. What do you need to pick up a couple W's here this weekend to start stacking points to begin the year?
Yeah, I think you just have to stick with playing the right way, playing our way, worried about our game being predictable, you know, just doing things that we do well. Those are the things that add up in the end. You know, we want teams to chase us. You know, we don't necessarily want to be chasing them. So I think for our guys, just stick to the game plan. Let's have a good game plan. The staff will have a good game plan coming up this week. We'll be ready to go as a team. And I just think go in there and put all your effort in the Friday night, and then we'll see what happens on Saturday.
And once again, that is Cy Evanuk getting a chance to catch up with the head coach of the Aberdeen Wings, Scott Langer, on the program for an Aberdeen Wings Wings Weekly. The Wings return home this Friday as they'll take on the Watertown Shamrocks. Puck drop is slated for 7:15 on 94.1 The Rock. If you want Wings tickets, we've got them for you here at Hub City Radio. Best price for Wings tickets in town. All's you got to do is pick up that phone. Heck, it's probably in your hand right now anyway, right? 605-229-3632. That's 605-229-3632 if you want tickets for this upcoming weekend. If you want to get your season tickets, you can get that all taken care of through us here at Hub City Radio. The best price for Wings tickets in town is through us here at Hub City Radio, 605-229-3632. That's it for us in our time together here today. This is David Tewksbury saying ever onward, always forward, and never backward. Matt Ouellette, Northern State offensive lineman. Brandon Kusler, new head coach of the Northern State baseball team. They'll both be joining us tomorrow for a Wolves midweek on Fox Sports Aberdeen.